I'd like to welcome everybody to the Bertie County Board of Commissioners meeting for August 15, 2022. And I would like to have Mr. Ron Robertson give the Pledge of Allegiance and the invocation, please.
Hello to each and everyone and all the listeners signing on. I'd like at this point just to have a special privilege for everyone and a silent prayer for my colleague, Commissioner Tammy Lee. She's dedicated, and she was doing the county. She was doing the work of the county when she was taken sick. So, for a silent prayer for Commissioner Lee, please join me. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Our pledge, everybody join me with the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Robertson.
Thank you.
At this time, we're going to entertain public comments, 3-minute public comments. Are there any public comments?
Commissioner Trent, this is Commissioner Lee by Zoom.
Well, how are you doing, Commissioner Lee?
She is doing good. She is progressing a little every day, but her voice has not gotten real good yet. She can talk in a loud whisper. That's about the size of it.
Well, I appreciate it, Vernon, and I know you're holding down the fort, and we do appreciate everything you're doing and everything that Commissioner Lee has done for Bertie County, and may God bless all of you. I know the prayers have been coming in, and people have been calling on a constant basis. I know I called you a few times, but, you know, we're trying just to listen to you and hear from you and not, you know, bother you, because I know you got your hands full. But, again, God bless both of you, and we love you, and we're looking forward to seeing y'all's faces back here in Bertie County.
Yes.
Very soon.
Yes, yes.
Bertie County,
I don't know whether you caught that or not, but she said Bertie County will look really good.
I know it will.
Can't wait to see you, Tammy. Can't wait to see you.
Any other 3-minute comments? Any comments? Okay. There's no other comments. We're going to move on to the Citizens Variance Request for Planning and Inspection, Director Tracy White. Ms. White. How are you doing, Ms. White?
Well, how are y'all?
Doing good. Great.
Make sure I don't bash anything with all my stuff here.
Hey, Miss Wayne had applied for a building permit for a manufactured home, set up a new manufactured home at 2840 U.S. Highway 13 North Ahoskie address. This is right across from its intersection with Hexalina Road. She's in a flood zone. We have our requirements are that the home must be elevated to 5 feet above base flood elevation. That is set forth in our ordinance. If she elevates her home, all the utilities and ductwork also have to be elevated, which is going to push her home up higher than she wanted. So when I told her this, I believe she contacted Mr. Vaughn to see if there was any way that they could waiver from that requirement. Basically, the lowest adjacent grade at the site is 37.09 feet. Base flood elevation is 39.7 feet. So right there, just to get to base flood elevation, you've got about 2 feet. You add the 5 feet to it, that's going to put her about 7 feet. The underside of a double-wide manufactured home has a marriage wall connection, and then ductwork has to go under that. And so that would have to come up higher. So she was going to be about 10 feet. Basically, if you look at the bottom of her front door, you'd be about 10 feet high. And she really just did not want to elevate her home. There is some engineering that's involved with that, based on the height. The manufactured housing code is going to require some engineered piers, that sort of thing. So we have been looking at this, and today I believe our building inspector spoke with Mr. Dave Jardine from Oakwood Homes. And there is an area on her property that she owns that is not actually in the flood zone.
Okay.
It's on the rear of the property, and he believes, and I have looked at some drawing, done some drawings myself this afternoon, that that could work.
Okay.
And that would just take her completely out of the flood zone. Did they get these maps?
Yes.
Okay. So on these maps, of your flood zone,
The little building with the blue lines would be, and that's the former home. That's
right.
Okay, and that's where she was going to replace it. If she goes into the area outside of the flood zone, it would be her further off the road, but she would be outside the flood zone.
And what is it?
She would not have to have any of
right. And what has her response been to that?
I haven't spoken with her yet because I've just, this has just been brought to my attention this afternoon that that was a possibility. I believe she is here.
Hey, how are you, ma'am? Good.
My concern with granting a variance from the ordinance is that it will set a precedent.
I agree. Yeah.
And, you know, we created those regulations and presented them to you, went through planning board based on actual flood data. Houses that had been elevated to 3 feet above base flood elevation had still had up to 2 feet of water in them.
Yeah.
That is my recommendation, is not to grant a variance in that, in the flood zone.
Well, ma'am, have you had time to research as far as the house, the being put back to the back of the property for you? I meant,
well, he just shared it with me and showed.
Oh, he did? Okay. I assume you're with Oakwood Homes?
Yes,
sir. Okay. And that's a possibility it can be put back there?
It's a possibility. When I talked to the National Inspector, he said there was an area back across the
floodplain. Okay. Right. Does it work with setbacks and things of that nature?
But there are no setbacks on this property because it was created before we had those requirements.
Okay, then that's a good thing.
So these are a couple of options. The way she can turn the home in that area. You may have a corner in the flood zone, but that is much better than having the entire property in the flood zone.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. And I think the thing to remember is that, you know, this is not intended to be any kind of punitive kind of thing,
it's
right?
Not.
It's for protection, right? We, in this county, we've seen so many, you know, homes be damaged. And if you're getting a new home, and we're delighted that you're doing that here and staying in the county.
I'm explaining to her my home that was there that they removed had been there since 71. So I wanted to upgrade.
Sure. Sure,
absolutely.
Sure.
And the home that they brought out has been sitting there since June, and I couldn't get nothing done because of the flood.
We'd hate to see you lose a new home in that area if you were in the flood zone. So it's really for protection for the citizens. So hopefully this is a solution, right, that you could live with and be happy and would not have to change the ordinance.
Good. Okay. Yeah, please.
It's a tight corner to fit this house.
I understand.
We're at the edge of the flood zone. Part of the home has to be inside that.
Again, that would have to go back to planning and zoning. Tracy, you want to address that?
I would rather see a new elevation certificate done for that area to before I would say too much about that, because the elevation does gradually go up. The contour lines on the map has a couple of contour lines. They're spread out, so it's not steep. It's not
right.
steep incline.
It's a gradual incline.
But that would make a big difference. And even, you know, reaching that height at that point would not have the same effect as where you're where your former home was.
Okay. I think, I'm sorry, go ahead, Commissioner. No, go ahead.
But the only thing I'd like to contribute to you, in the process, when this home, you know, everything taken care of through the planning department, but now one other option you may want to look at is taking your ductwork, instead of running through the ground, through the floor, run them through the ceiling. If you run this ductwork through the ceiling, it would have it wouldn't touch, you know, the ground where that water may at some point.
Right, I see that. It's already pre-saved. Yeah.
Okay. This is something that you will consider, though, right? In terms of looking at it to see if it could be located, if a corner is just in the.
Yes.
So.
Definitely.
Okay. Did the home you have there before ever flood?
Only flood.
Okay, so it did flood then.
Yeah.
Then okay. Then basically, I think what the board needs to do is move forward with a motion as far as a variance or no variance. Okay. And then I think the gentleman with Oakwood needs to meet with Tracy, okay, and of course the homeowner, and you guys kind of work out the particulars as far as what you need to do, and go from there. And can we have a motion in reference, please?
I would make the motion that we do not grant the variance in this case, but yet and still allow the homeowner to have more consultation with Tracy and to see if things can be worked out, but to deny the
motion. Thank you. Is there a second, please?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And again, sir, you with Oakwood Homes, if you can just get with Tracy and help the homeowner, and let's see if we can't get this thing worked out here. Okay. And Tracy, thank you for your
thank
time.
Thank you, Ms. White.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. White, she'll work with you because she worked with me before.
Thank you.
Thank you.
She'll work with you.
Thank you. All right, next on the agenda is going to be dental care practices announcements by Kim Schwartz, CEO of Roanoke Chowan Community Health Center. Ms. Schwartz, how are you? Thank you, ma'am.
Hello, how are you? Good to see you. Thank you.
That's right. That's right. Yes, you are.
There you go.
Let me welcome up my co-worker here, Mr. Phil Bowen, who is my facilities administrator, and good evening. And I'm so grateful to be here. I was trying to think how long ago it's been since I've been here in person, and it was when we did our Colerain advancement, and so that was a few years ago. I was in charge of that project. Also have with us here today a couple of our board members. So Viola Von Halsen, also Bertie County resident, and Sheila Amy. So,
ladies, how are y'all?
Thank you so much for this opportunity. Tammy did invite us to come.
Sure.
We were scheduled to be here last month. And so hello, Tammy. And just have her in our thoughts and prayers. She's somebody very dear to me and to this project. So she has been a huge champion on the issues that surround dental care. And I don't know if y'all recall, but this was our third try at a federal grant for dental care services in Bertie County. No, you don't get if you don't try. And so this one was successful. And I think most of you are familiar with Roanoke Chowan Community Health Center. We are 17 years plus old, which is a hard thing for me to think about. And our growth, we're looking at a $28 million budget this year, which is, that's big business in our area, and 250 employees. So, the work that we do is the work of the community.
Yeah.
So I talk about healthcare evangelism all the time because, we can't wait for people to come to us. We have to go out, and that's our work And we have a great community health center here in Bertie County that we share service with. I talked to Siobhan DePue earlier. I'm right here at Bertie Rural Health. And we just have a different service area, but we share, luckily, Bertie County. So Allander and Colerain are our service areas in Bertie County. It's a big county, guys.
It is 720 square miles.
And Phil drives it a lot. So we know it intimately. So the front part is a little bit more about us. I think the last time I was here, we didn't have our Woodland Clinic. And that's our blue little building here that was a Southern Bank that I talked them into selling to us for $25,000.
And that was a good deal.
That was a good deal.
And again, it was a great honor to Dr. Stanley.
Oh, my gosh.
He was a fantastic doctor. I meant, actually, when I first moved up here from Florida, I used to run over there, and I used to call him my poison ivy doctor and my tick doctor. He was a great guy. Great guy.
Yes. So carrying on his legacy there, and that's a busy clinic. We're grateful for that. So
absolutely.
Our dental integrated care of Allander, and I emphasize the dental word in Bertie County. This is no surprise to you. You know, we're working with our partners at East Carolina Dental School of Medicine. They're working here in the school systems with their mobile project. And just to remind you a little bit of the statistics of dental care and in Bertie County, which we're in District 9 for the Health and Human Services Division. Almost 23% of adults over the age of 65 in Bertie County, this is the fancy word for this, and are in completely indentulous, meaning they have no teeth. That takes my breath away. With another 23% between the ages of 45 and 64, having lost six or more permanent teeth. You know this if you walk around the community, how desperate we are for dental services. And so this is the hard work. It's very expensive to start a dental project and a dental clinic. And we were lucky to get started with ECU. They will continue to be our partner in this as a feeder, and will also be a resident site as well too for them. So this site, it was hard to find the right land because I really wanted it to be up on the road so folks could see it from 13 and see where to find it. I really didn't want it buried in a small little community because I was afraid folks wouldn't find it. And this has got to be not only serving Bertie County, but it's a regional. And the consultants that we are working with are saying, you're going to have to face the facts that you're going to have two full-time dentists, probably four full-time hygienists, and we won't come close to meeting the need, but we got to go in there and get it done. Right. So that's the work. Plus our mobile dentistry and our portable dentistry, which we were already starting. So it isn't the build and we'll come, we're already doing the work, and we have a lot of run up and runway on this work. So
these are great things for Bertie County.
They are. And it's so necessary. And having the skills of the dental school right there and them growing some of our own. So we have an Ahoskie native in the residency right now. So it'll be just about time. Exactly. Just about time for them to come on in.
No doubt about it.
So this is right across from the cemetery on Pine Street, South Pine Street. And so we really had to work with a local farmer to get that land bought, because you know what farmland is like. And so we had to figure out some of that. The front end of the property were conservancy, so we had to work on that piece and get that land there. So Phil's convinced that we're going to have a big tooth on the roof. This is a kind of a front end picture of what it'll look like. That'll face the cemetery side. This will too as well. We were fortunate enough, I know you remember this, when Bertie qualified for HRSA Capital Assistance Disaster Response Funding. So they lumped that all in during COVID. So we wrote this in the height of COVID in 2020, where they put floods and hurricanes and mudslides and fires all into one big federal grant. And we qualified for $1 million. And so that's how we got Colerain built. We started with $1 million, and then we gathered in other partners. And so we got an additional all $677,000 through rescue plans. We cross your fingers, Lida. Congressman Butterfield has us number one ranked on his earmark for another million or so. So
fantastic.
We're hoping that goes through. And then we'll be working with foundations. As I said, dental care is not cheap. So that's just get the buildings going. And then we'll work with other foundations on the FTEs. And so that's all in process right now. So we'll have eight dental operatories. It'll accommodate two dentists, two hygienists in-house, and two hygienists on our mobile and portable plans. And then we'll have five medical exam rooms. And that's really to concentrate on capturing those folks, because there are a lot of folks, because dental pain is different than physical pain, that they'll come into the dental clinic. They'll become our patient as a dental clinic. We will screen them for medical, and then, hey, look.
Yes.
Right here.
That's right.
That's the idea. And then also those rooms will be for behavioral health, diabetes education, and then we'll have a drive-through for outside testing and opportunities like that. So if we had to do it over, we'd have put a drive-through in a Husky. That's one of our things that we learned during COVID. Anything we do now going forward, we'll have a drive-through option, and so that will be there as well too. We'll have a groundbreaking, hopefully. This is, you know, we're a year behind on the project. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to being a year behind in a capital project. If you've worked with me before, you know, we end on time and we end in budget. That's our history. We work hard at that. We have no debt. That's why we're do some of the things we do and able to do some of the things we do well, long-term and sustainable. But there's no fighting what's happened with COVID and the delay and the supply chain, and engineers are in high demand and we are at the top of lists and we're making great progress. So we actually have a floor plan. And so hopefully all of that will pass through the HRSA, because then we have all the regulatory pieces we have to jump and climb through. But we know how to do that. So we're in the processes of that. So,
well, I congratulate you all, and also I'm very happy for Bertie and the surrounding counties. This is very exciting.
Sure
is. It is very exciting.
Very exciting.
Sure. So,
and thank you for your indulgence in taking care of this and getting it done. It takes key people like you to do things like this.
Yes. Oh, thank you. It takes support of the board and the community and engagement. I say there's three things. You have to have faith.
Yep.
You have to have courage, and you got to have will. And in Bertie County, we got all of that.
And we need every bit, you know.
We keep it going.
And I like to throw in a little thing we call vision, too.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the faith part.
Exactly.
That's a part of the faith part. So, no doubt, and the perseverance, you know, exactly. Third times, right. You know, was a prize for this. So
being consistent.
Yeah. So we've got a lot to navigate through the next couple of years. But, of course, you'll be involved as we navigate through the groundbreaking and the ribbon cutting, sure. Ultimately, we're pretty excited about it. This is his first from the ground up. Yeah. He's added on to Colerain and remodeled Woodland, and this is his. So we've learned a lot already.
Ms. Watts, we just attended our North Carolina meeting for county commissioners across the state, and one of the things that was kind of put out there for us to be aware of is that, you know, the new gun legislation that was just passed is going to have the largest infusion of mental health services funding in the history of America, right. By far, right? And that money is directly going to community-based organizations, community health centers primarily. So in the state, we're pushing for that money to come not just to the state, but directly to counties, because we know our needs best, right? And we know how to invest in local organizations that support our citizens. So, and this is a service that, you know, could really be added in a significant way as a major separate piece, I think, of the services that you offer.
So you're talking to, I'm a therapist by trade, so I'm a licensed, continued credentialed, board licensed therapist myself. I'm an LPC. So understanding the integrated care, that's why we use that word in there,
yes,
dental integrated care, specifically, because it is easier for folks to come into a place that doesn't have a whole lot of stereotypes attached to it, to see your doctor, your dentist. So all of those screenings go on. So we have a full array of behavioral health. The issue is we're so vacant of referral options. So we're supposed to be the quick problem solution in primary care, work on one issue, three or four visits.
Right.
We don't have referral options. Mm-hmm. And so scope of practice dynamics are impacted. And if you listen to any of the things going, we're in the school based in Hertford County, there's just a huge shortage. We're training our own. We're growing our own. We've got care management and behavioral health that helps, that bridges that, so that you may not see a therapist every time, but you have a care manager, somebody liaisoning in between. We don't get paid for that part of it. That's a little hard, but in this grant, there will be pay for that, which will be helpful.
That's good. And, you know, we know that in this area, it is, you know, professionals, but also bed space, because we know in not this current budget, but the prior budget, right up until the last day, there was a space for bed space, 200 plus in Greenville, that was cut out almost on the last day of the budget that everybody was counting towards, right? So we're hopeful that these funds can make a real big difference, because we could really use.
Well, those funds are long past overdue.
Yes, they are.
I can tell you that right now. Long past overdue.
Is the truth. And during COVID, especially the recognition of our children. It is something that we carry heavy, that really need that attention, that they hide it pretty well. And I think our work of working with children and families is so essential. You will hear us advocate for that. They get tired of hearing me advocate for that, of how we can do this continuously, that it's the whole body. You don't separate the mind and the body and the brain. It's all connected. And it's sometimes easier to talk to a pediatrician, you know, and then just go down the hall, say, listen, come on in here. This is one of my colleagues. That's sometimes a little bit easier than having to walk in cold somewhere, but then having a referral option of where to send is going to be so essential. I appreciate your all's advocacy in that so much.
Absolutely. Your enthusiasm is exciting.
Yeah.
Well, this is God's work, and we're just responding to that, I have to say, and honestly.
Amen.
I live and here, it shows. And we all live here.
Exactly. And it shows. Here, and it shows.
Miss Lee would just extend her sincerest appreciation for all you're doing, all you've already done. And this is one of the projects she says she's been working on since she first became a commissioner. And she's just really excited about what's happening.
We are too, Tammy. And so thank you guys so much for everything that you do
thank
as
you.
Well.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing such great news.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is going to be East Carolina University Health Bertie Hospital update by the president, Brian Harbaugh, also a famous meatloaf eater.
That's right. You have a great memory. I am a meatloaf eater. Love it to death.
You ain't kidding.
Did you bring the jar in case we said a no word?
I'm going to say it.
I'm not.
I did want to just talk briefly about two things tonight. One is the transition with ECU Health, and then some brief comments that Mr. Vaughn asked me to speak on in regards to the lease agreement that the county has with the hospital. As I was preparing for this, I think next month makes 3 years to the month since I was last here. Anything been going on in healthcare in the last 3 years?
A lot.
I think
last
year I had a full head of hair.
A lot.
Presentation.
I don't remember that, but anyway, yes.
Maybe someone else. Is this the right one? I can hit this. All right. So back in January of this year, Biden Health, so I can say it on that time, Biden Health and Bertie School of Medicine signed a joint agreement to come together and partner. And in May, you may have seen our teal signs start to turn purple up the road. So very excited about that. It had the two largest healthcare providers in Eastern North Carolina come together, provide some more efficiencies. And this is really about the future. And I can promise you the services that we provide in Bertie County are only gonna get stronger over the years because of that. One of the things that we're looking forward to is a rural residency program that will start to come out in the future months and years, help us recruit providers that we've been talking about. So hopefully that we'll see some of those results soon. Just a reminder about who we are. There are eight hospitals in the health system. If you count Beaufort, which is now a department of the flagship hospital in Greenville. Last year alone, we served over 400,000 patients, had almost 50,000 surgeries, and delivered almost 6,200 babies. Just a note, we did deliver a baby in our hospital here in town this year. We're not supposed to do that. It's not something we like to do, but circumstances called for it. We had a healthy baby and mom were great. We had partnerships with Edenton and a Hosky that came and helped us out that night. So I think the last baby we delivered here was 9 years ago. So hopefully it's another nine. So we can do it. You're familiar with the picture of Eastern North Carolina. So we still span from the Outer Banks down as far southwest corner there with ECU Health, Duplin Hospital. 29 counties in Eastern North Carolina. We're thankful that one of those hospitals is here in Bertie County. You all are probably more familiar with this than me, but these are the tier rankings for most distressed counties. And you can see those 29 counties that we serve. Most of them have that tan color. So most are tier one. Healthcare is hard to deliver in general, but more importantly, it's hard to deliver in distressed counties. There's a correlation between a distressed county and the health of that county. Robinson County is, if you ranked them 1 to 100 most distressed, number one. Robinson County is number one. Bertie's number six. Washington County's number 10. Martin's, I think, 11. And Terrell County's 14. So all right around where we are, definitely in the top 10 to 15. But as hard as it is to deliver healthcare here, there's certainly some things locally that we're proud of that have happened in the last 12 to 24 months. One of the things is Bertie Hospital was recognized nationally through the National Rural Health Association. It's one of the top 20 critical access hospitals in the country on delivering on patient satisfaction. And it's not a subjective award. It's all data driven. So the information that's sent to CMS is populated each year, and Bertie County and Bertie Hospital was one of the top 20. So although we had to accept that award virtually, it was a great celebration for us at the hospital that day earlier this year. We'll talk about it with the lease agreement in a minute, but hospital is a little over 23 years old now. So just like your own homes, things start to break down 2 decades later. But we were fortunate to upfit the Bertie lobby that was in its original state just a few months ago, and some more equipment upgrades that took place this year. We're certainly proud of our partnership with Bertie County Schools. We support the athletic trainer, not only at Bertie County, but in Chowan for Clemens and Terrell County. Our goal for that, not only is it's cheaper and better for students every day that are injured in sports and have somebody on site to do that. They don't have to come to the emergency room for that a lot of times. But that program's designed too, that in the years to come, as we strengthen the partnership, to have students in the school system that are interested in healthcare positions to be able to come to Bertie and to Edenton and kind of shadow as best we can, and make sure that if there's something they're interested in doing with us, that we do that with them in those younger years. I mentioned things changing over the last 3 years in healthcare. COVID was obviously the number one. We opened up some testing sites early on, and then we were fortunate enough to start getting a weekly allocation from the state, and not many other places did. And we opened up a vaccine clinic inside the hospitals, and with the help of Mr. Ron Wesson and Mr. Ron Robinson, they got us involved with some of the churches in town. And on a couple Saturdays this past year, we were able to go out and vaccine even more community members. I think what makes me the most proud of this is even the pictures that you see there of those team members. They all have regular jobs, and we didn't hire anybody to do the testing or the vaccinations. They did this above and beyond their normal jobs, and we're happy to do it. It's what makes me proud to work with them every day. We have a new foundation director. She would not be happy with me if I didn't mention it. On October 14th, we do have a golf tournament. It's the first tournament that the hospital's ever put on at Econo, which was Scotch Hall. So if any golf aficionados in here are interested, you can contact Jennifer Harris to do that. And that's all I have on the update. Happy to take questions before I make a couple comments regarding the lease agreement.
Okay. I just got a couple comments. Yeah. One is you guys did a heck of a job for us. And great addition, having the helicopter here. Mm-hmm. Numerous counties are very jealous of that. And we like that because we can service the whole surrounding area since we are paramedic level and our surrounding counties are not. And we are paramedic level. And that's what we like. And thank you for that.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't have any questions, Brian, but, you know, for someone who pulls cover every night with a medical professional, I'd be remiss if I didn't say how much we appreciate what now ECU Health has done for this community in terms of community grants programs. A lot of people really don't know. They think of, you know, just as the hospital and hospital services, but they don't know how much money you guys pour into this community in many, many ways. Most of the nonprofits here, you guys would not really exist to the extent they do without the help of ECU Health. And that's been a tremendous, tremendous thing. You guys have always been that kind of partner with us here from the beginning. Also, and John mentioned the work with our EMS staff. I mean, that kind of partnership in terms of, you know, I think your staff has helped make our staff that much better, and the coordination working with your emergency physicians and people there has been tremendous. And I think a lot of lives have been saved, and being the first county in the state to have paramedic care on every single 911 call for a county like Bertie is amazing. And a lot of that training and support came from ECU Health. And the last thing I'll say is that, you know, and this is, I'm speaking as a person, as a commissioner, not on behalf of this board, but when we look at the budget this year in terms of what the legislature is calling Medicaid expansion, which I think is a step forward, but not all of what we need in this community. A lot of folks in this community are still in that donut hole who are underserved working people, the working poor, who don't qualify. And we need to change that. And when I look at the legislation that is passed, a lot of that implementation of that is going to be pushed on the hospitals, not funded in the actual bill itself, but the hospitals are going to incur that cost for the rollout of this Medicaid so-called expansion effort. I think that's so unfair. Hospitals are hurting across this state and in most states. So I'm talking to a lot of legislators, and I think that's something that at least is going to be looked at again in the long session when it comes up, because we can't put that burden on hospitals, not in the state that you guys are in, coming out of all of the pandemic work and all of that. So just my comment, and let's hope that we can see some change there. So, appreciate but it. Thank totally you. Agree. Thank
yeah,
you.
Absolutely. Brian.
Yes, sir.
Serving on your board is a pleasure. Now, I look at it like this, that I became part of the ECU Health family. For us to get together on the weekends and ride together from one community to another community, Saturday after Saturday, to make sure the citizens of Bertie County and anyone else came over to get tested for COVID, brought chills to me. And it's just outstanding job that y'all do there. And I'm one person that you can always count on if you need anything.
Thank you. Appreciate Thank it. You.
I mean,
it's a privilege to serve here.
It is, sir. We even have people coming in from Virginia to get vaccinated here.
Exactly. All the way from Charlotte.
That couldn't get vaccinated anywhere else.
Yeah, all the way from Charlotte.
I might have been transported to some other area when I walked through the parking lot one day. There was Virginia tags
all everywhere, right?
And I would ask some of these people, I said, you're coming all the way to Bertie County? Yeah, I'm from Norfolk. We can't get vaccinated up there. I said, Yeah. All the way to Bertie County.
Yeah, so, we have a lot of surgeries done here too for people from all over the state coming here to our surgery facility.
The way we had this thing set up, five rows, we had the military, we had everybody here. It was just
it was great, man.
I'll be honest with you, I hated COVID, but it was an exciting time to see what Bertie County could actually do, and people were depending on Bertie County to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And that was unheard of. It would have been unheard of 10 years ago, 12 years ago, unheard of. Any other questions? Go ahead.
Yep. Just wanted to mention real briefly about the lease agreement. So it was on April 6, 1998, there was an agreement signed between Bertie County and Pitt County Memorial at the time. I'm going to have to throw a dollar in the jar for saying that, I guess. And on January 1st of this year, 2022, that lease agreement ended. And I know that in the agreement, it talked about as the hospital and the system paid for the lease over those 20 plus years, that Bertie County would, in essence, give back $120,000 a year. And it reads to take care of the indigent and poor in the charity care. And I just wanted to confirm with the group that, you know, we do acknowledge that the lease ended, and that per that lease, the dollars would cease coming, and can, with 100% assurance, assure that, you know, the care and the service are not going to change. No one in the county or and any of the citizens are going to be deprived of care. That would be unheard of and certainly outside of our mission. So certainly appreciate the partnership that we've had and continue it. But we do recognize that those payments did end on January 1st of this year.
Okay. Thank you. Brian, we really appreciate you, and we appreciate your staff and everything you guys do. And I have to be, you know, kind of partial. My daughter's a part of ECU and she is loves her job and loves ECU, and that's just all there is to it. So thank you very much for what you do for us.
Thank you all very
Any
much.
Other questions? Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you all again.
2022 North Carolina Great Grant Bertie County Project Presentation, Eric Collins, Director of Government Affairs, Spectrum, or Charter.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's good to be with you this afternoon. Talking with Mr. Vaughn, we've had some conversations about broadband deployment, really specifically Bertie County, but we're doing a lot of broadband deployment across North Carolina. The one thing that we've found over the last 2 years with the pandemic is the lack of access to broadband, especially in the rural communities and the rural counties that a lot of what we serve. And one of our focuses have been as a company is to seek funding, seek grants to get broadband deployed in these rural unserved areas. In doing that, we utilize not only the grant funds, but we're putting forth Charter's committed a lot of funding towards building out those areas as well. I'll open up with this before I get to the slides. Rural areas are very difficult to build. And it's based on the fact that, especially for private companies, public companies coming in, when you look at households, there might be 4 or 5 homes per mile in farming communities. When you look at that in the business sense, the numbers don't add up to be able to build. So where it really comes into play is seeking funding and grant funding. So I share with Mr. Vaughn, since I will work with a telecommunication company, if I couldn't open this PowerPoint, I need to find another job. There we go. All right. So I need to put my glasses on here. There we go.
Scott, are you operating this along with us? We're trying to what's projecting on the laptop screen isn't projecting on the monitor, Scott. Can you hear me? Scott, same issue.
Technology is great, isn't it?
When it works.
When it works. That's
right. While they're working on that.
There it is.
Here we are.
There we go. All right.
Okay. Now we just can't see it on the, well, I guess it's not a huge deal, but we can't see it on the laptop, but it's okay.
I got it here.
Very good. Thank you.
I brought it. So let's get to the next slide. Before I get into this slide, Charter Communications, some of you might know us by the brand of Spectrum when you see trucks on the road. Chairman Trent and I were talking about, he said, hold that thought. But Charter Communication is the parent company. It's when you hear Charter Communications and Charter Communication, the brand of our product is Spectrum. Even when our ARDOF awards, when we apply for grants such as ARDOF, the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, which is just an FCC grant, if you go to that map that the FCC has up, it has CCO Holdings, which is Charter Communications Operating Holdings. So it's still a brand of Charter Communications. It's just a various operating holdings that we operate up under. Well, this particular map here, this is the map that is with the NC1, which is the North Carolina Department of Information and Technology. It's a map that all applicants utilize and were required to utilize. And this map is actually pretty much identical to the FCC map where you receive 477 data that providers send in. And what it does, it shows it within the state, those census blocks and those areas that's truly unserved.
So in this map here, when you look at the purplish color, dark color, that is our RDoF award that we won RDoF for the county here. The salmon color is where areas that the state had determined through the GREAT grant that providers could bid on. Those were the areas that you had to bid on. The white area there that you see pretty much in the middle section, that's where a current provider is already providing service. That's what they consider their footprint. And then you see some light tan color along the river there. That tan color is where residents sent in information to North Carolina Department of Information Technology to let them know, listen, our area here, we don't have access to broadband. And so it's shaded in as part of the white for the respondents that they received from those residents who sent that in. The next slide. On this, here's just another slide in the NC GREAT. We applied, let me talk about the blue section here. The blue section is the RDoF area that we were awarded those census blocks within the county of the 1,328 households that we won with RDoF. And of those 13, if you'll notice the red dots, they coincide with where our RDoF area is at. Currently, we provide service in the county. We serve the town of Allander. We go outside the town of Allander a little bit to below Allander, then to the east and to the west. So we provide some services in that area, but it's very, very limited in the number of subscribers we currently provide there.
Is there any way to expand that up so we can see the names? When you say Allander, I can see Allander, and I think to the left in the blue, you see Kelford. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And
Kelford falls outside of our RDoF area.
Okay. And what about the town of Lewiston?
The town of Lewisville.
Lewiston, Woodville.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where it's at. It looks like Lewiston falls within that area that is served by a current provider. If I go back to this map here.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get back.
So thanks, Dave.
Let me go back here.
Yeah. Scott, can you take us back one slide, please?
Okay. So you see the white area there, right? Yes. In the center that goes up? Mm-hmm. Those are areas that the state said is currently served by another provider. And I assume the county, everyone knows who that provider is, and apparently it's Mediacom is a provider that's providing service. So that area was protected by the North Carolina Information and the Technology. So that's why that section, you could not even apply for a GREAT grant there, because it was that terrestrial property and those census blocks that the provider stated that they currently provide service.
Okay, and again, what I have here has a different color than what you have up there. The white, yes, as we see, is unprovided, correct?
No, the white.
Okay, let me know what that is.
Current service.
Okay, all right. Is that 308 that runs through there? Steve, can you see it? I can't see it. Is that 308 that would be that area?
That's correct.
And that is being provided by Mediacom? Is that what you're saying?
I think they're the provider here.
Okay.
Mediacom. Right. So if I have a permission.
Sure. Yes.
All of this white section through the middle here, all through here and here, those are the areas that the current provider is protected.
Okay.
The salmon color here are the areas that
That helped, Greg. Thanks. That helped
a lot.
The state
says through the GREAT grant application process,
those are the census blocks that providers could bid on. They couldn't bid anywhere outside of that.
Okay.
So, and then you have that up along the river there where respondents from residents under the county right here sent information in stating that they did not and unable to receive broadband, which helped North Carolina Department of Information Technology determine, yes, there is no service provider there.
One thing we understand from, again, a conference we just attended last week, is that in that white area that said grant service area, a lot of that was determined by, you know, calls that were made, right, to determine if service was available.
Because
our understanding was that in a lot of areas, that a person mm-hmm. or several citizens may have had, but is that true coverage?
No.
And again, that's a very good point, Commissioner Weston, mm-hmm. because that was the point I was making. Even though it's there, is it considered service? That's
correct. Well, and here's why that is. As I stated earlier, the state is utilizing, now the state fortunately is going to a new mapping system.
Okay.
Sure. What the state is doing, they're using FCC data maps. So their map is mirroring what the FCC states. So to put some clarity, and this will help you understand, with the FCC, that those white sections that shows up is served,
right?
They're census blocks, okay? Within that census block, the FCC defines this, and this is crucial. The FCC defines a census block. If one household is served in that census block,
yep.
the entire census block is served. So that's why there's no pockets in that white, if that makes sense.
But that's a fallacy.
Huh?
That's a fallacy.
And that's being tested too. So
that's exactly, that's why the new mapping is so important. That's why the new mapping is so important. Yeah, so when the new mapping comes, what you're gonna find, you're going to find pockets within that census block. There are going to be roads in a territory that they're saying in census blocks being served. A good example, there might be 400 homes in a census block, but the provider may only go down one street, but an entire census block changes.
So that's what the CAD's going to address, the second wave of funding out behind the great grant?
That's correct.
That's what we're doing. That's 400 million.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's correct.
But that will address those areas that were.
Well, they're working on a new mapping program. Right. There's some other things that the state has with their CAB grant and other ones, like a line extension program.
Oh, yeah.
Where customers sure. that just can't get the service helps with additional funding.
Right, and the poll funding for
additional exactly polls. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So if you look at the red dots, everything you see in blue there is where our RDOF's at, of those 1328. So what made sense to us at targeting, at least for RDOF, because we're in 41 states, and in North Carolina, we're in about every county in North Carolina, I think, except for three after RDOF. So with RDOF, in the RDOF award, you only have, if you win or granted an award with RDOF, it has to be built within 7 years. Now, what our push is not going out the 7 years. So we made an effort to look at specific counties that we would apply in based on the fact of where our current footprint is, and along with RDOF, because we knew we couldn't get to every county within a 2-year period. So what we did is we leveraged our RDOF to apply for GREAT, which means that we have 2 years to build GREAT upon the time we serve the GREAT contract. What that does is it puts us in a position where we also have to upgrade and do, not upgrade, but we have to build the RDOF areas. So instead of being pushed out to 7, now we're pushing out the 2.5 years for everything to be built. So that's one thing that GREAT did. It pushed us forward to build out quicker and not have to wait.
That's the thing I want to be absolutely clear on. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm I understand exactly where you are, and I understand why you chose that. So the art of in itself has rules that would take you to seven, that you could literally go to seven to build that out.
Absolutely.
So what you're telling us is that because you received the great grant, in addition to what you would normally do in that great grant area, you're also going to hit their RDOF numbers on top of, or that inclusive?
That's correct. Because in essence, what our design team did in our construction team put together is we couldn't do every county like that.
Right, aren't you?
You're one of the unique counties
that
we could, so we pushed forward that because we leveraged those great grants. We leveraged RDOF against great, saying, if we win these awards, we know we have to build it in 2 years. Because you have to remember the one thing, where we're at at Allander, that means we're going to, because what we're doing is the fibers of the home.
Yeah.
Well, we'll walk over and just show you.
If we're in Allander right here,
right,
and we're over here, it doesn't make sense that we don't build this and this at the same time, because we have to build this before we can build that. And we have 2 years and great to do it.
Grade only allows us 2 years.
So how many houses are you predicting in Ornoff in the Orlando area back in the western Bertie County area?
There's a total of 1,328.
Okay, I read that. Yeah. But is that conclusive? Is that, and what is the time frame on that 1,328? I know you said seven to two and a half.
Two years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, okay, and the red is the 478, correct?
That's the 478 households.
Where are they located at? What township or city?
Well, the one thing about this is that a lot of the passings are in the rural areas. It's not technically in a locality, because when you bid RDOF and you build the great, it's not for localities, it's for the rural areas.
Okay, I understand that, but I'm trying to get my bearings here. Okay. So if you take the red, where's that red bearing? Where's that area? I mean, I'm looking at that now, and I don't see a name on it. Do you, Steve? I can't.
It's east of Ashbyville and southwest of Coleman.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can get that information. I can actually.
Is there any way you can get us information? And I know it would help me, and I think it would help the rest of the county commissioners. Information that actually shows roads, okay? So that we have that, so that we have a breakdown, and we can, you know,
when we're talking to your residents,
absolutely,
about
we're conversing with them, we can say, okay, here on 308, see this right here. This is the Arnoff. This is in the blue. Okay. And this here is the red. This is what's currently 478. This is 1300 and something. Sure. This is what's going to happen. Because then we can use that as a map, absolutely, a map that everybody can understand.
The other question that to me that's extremely important is, what was your criteria for choosing those 478?
But because those census blocks?
I know where they are. But
yeah.
In terms of, that's not all of the, obviously not all the residents. So what was the criteria for choosing the actual 478?
It was chosen on based on the fact of what we could build, knowing that we're building all the counties. So that's the area that we focused at.
I understand the area, but the selection of households in that area, what was the criteria? Was it their closeness? Was it density?
It's proximity to our RDOF area and the density that was there.
So it's more condensed, is what you're saying.
That's not my question. Yeah. I understand what the RDOF area is much larger than that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm saying, what was the criteria for the specific red great grant households within that RDOF? I know they all had to be there, but what was the, was it density? How close they were to each other?
That's what I said a minute ago. It was density as it relates to the RDOF.
Okay, so the question I'm concerned about is, if it's only density, I hope there are other areas, because that then limits the actual area of focus for those 478 homes, right? And we're a very rural area. So if you only look at the dense populated areas, we don't get any much extended coverage. That was our concern from day one.
Right.
So how are we going to get around that?
Because
you're going to build them all in 2.5 years now, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, everything's going to be built there.
Right. But
And that number may end up going up after we completely ride it out.
But okay. I'm not trying to put you in a hole, but here's what I'm saying. So it sounds like if you're going to look at density, then the people in the more outlying areas will probably be near the end, right? Yeah. Because you're going to build density around trying to hit 1806, right?
Yeah.
So I want to be clear on that, right?
And the other factor is this, is within the great grant, it's a very competitive grant.
I got it, yeah.
And if the grant itself per passing is not within a range, you're throwing yourself out.
We clearly get that. We understand
how it get works. That. Yeah. And to follow up on all these questions here real quick, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you were bidding for Bertie County, why didn't you come and present to Bertie County?
I called to do partnership.
You called to mm-hmm. come and make and come to present mm-hmm. to the county commissioners yes, here? Sir. And what was your answer? No?
I mean I didn't get a response.
You did not get a response.
Who was the person you spoke with?
Who was it? Gonna echo that.
Who was the person that you spoke with?
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and look because that's been several months ago.
Okay.
Let me ask you another question.
Go ahead.
On this contract, do you contract your service out?
We have contractors that build the system.
I'm talking, do you subcontract your work out? Or do Spectrum deal that broadband themselves?
No, we build it. We sub it out to contractors who actually.
So you have subcontractors can be on the job that y'all bid.
No, we have one contractor, we have several contractors here in the state of North Carolina, and this is moving from side to side to get it built.
Right.
That's how it works.
Well, the next question I have is this. Okay, so you did call and you spoke to somebody mm-hmm. and you wanted to come before the Board of Commissioners to present yourself, correct? Mm-hmm. And that never happened, okay? And I'm interested in who you talked to, number one, because number two has taken us way back. And the reason I'm saying that, because the two presenters that we did have, our match was a hell of a lot cheaper than what your match is, a bunch cheaper. Right. And so when we're doing budget in June, okay, we budgeted money for the people who we signed letters of intent, right?
Right.
Okay. And then for the first application, I think you're at $778,000, correct? As far as our match?
I think so.
Okay. Well, that's about $500,000 more than what, and we've already budgeted. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Okay. So it becomes a very much a financial issue for a county like Bertie, okay, to now have Spectrum jump into the loop. I'm not saying you shouldn't be, okay, but when it comes to the match and we've already budgeted a certain amount of money because we didn't have an interview with you, we didn't sign a letter of intent, okay, right. We signed a letter of intent with someone else because we weighed all the options that were out there, and we come back and then all of a sudden boom, Spectrum gets the contract.
Well, let me put you at ease at something,
please, because this is a big nut.
Listen,
for us.
with the great grant.
Mm-hmm.
If you've read, and as Mr. Vaughn received the letter and you received the letter saying they were granted. So what they did, if you notice, there were only like 10 across the state.
Right.
What the North Carolina Department of Information Technology did when they released NC Bio, they only mentioned and they only released those 10 because they were small in statutes as far as the amount of money that was required to build these. Last week, NC Bio sent an email out saying this,
mm-hmm.
saying there are challenges to applications, the majority of the applications. And with those applications, the announcement of the remaining winners is going to be delayed to later this month, probably the September, until they get through that challenge process. Mm-hmm. Now, that does not mean, and I can't say that I'm going to say this with being confident about it, but I feel confident that Bertie County is going to receive a good chance. The Bertie County is going to receive
Bertie, not Bertie.
Bertie County is going to receive another award from another, whoever the provider is going to be. Because when you do the scoring of criteria of great,
right,
it's the two highest scores. So we knew ours, we knew from, not from the set, from when they announced it, we didn't realize we were going to win, didn't know. But when they announced it, that means there's still a second opportunity in Bertie County,
right, sure,
to win.
Yes, and we understand that.
Yeah,
here's the thing that, you know, and this is not really a complaint for Spectrum at all, not at all.
It's not.
But you know, the way this was presented to us, right,
mm-hmm,
is that we needed to go out and look at providers, interview the ones that we thought might be effective, make a what we thought was a, you know, informed decision, and, you know, and select.
Yeah.
But that's not how the system was going to work. We just found that out. The system is a scored system.
Right.
That's scored in Raleigh, and it is scored directly on information that you provided to them, everybody.
Right.
So sometimes that Spectrum had an advantage here simply because you're already in the RDF area, mm-hmm, and they're saying could do it. So I accept that. Mm-hmm. Nothing we can do about it. However, I am really now focused on what is now that second round of funding, which is the CAD, which is bigger than the great grant.
Absolutely.
Because that's going to do something different. It's not going to say, well, you're in this area and you're looking for density and this is the best way to get to your numbers. That's not what that's going to do. It's going to be different. So, you know, are you guys interested?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to understand.
I hadn't gotten to that point
yet. Right.
Getting back to my point, which is his point also, all right? But it goes back to the financial ends of the point, mm-hmm, okay? Well, we have $778,000 match. Is that correct? Okay. 777, okay,
mm-hmm,
versus a quarter million, less houses, density, I get it. But we aren't prepared due to the fact we had no presentation to be able to budget this money. You know, we've got a certain amount of money that's budgeted, all mm-hmm right? But it's not $777,000, mm-hmm, okay? So I'm very interested on who you called, okay, for this board to have that information so okay that we know who you called,
okay,
and you didn't present to us. You weren't here, okay, to present.
Sure.
And that's the deal. So
I can provide that.
Okay, because right now we're in a loss as far as from A to B where right we're at. Listen, I welcome it. I welcome the grant.
Right.
Don't think I don't.
Okay? I know you do.
Okay.
I know. We would have been better prepared.
Had we okay known.
Had we known. Okay, what Spectrums was expecting, or Charter, okay, was expecting, okay, because we were told up front what we were expecting from Reno Connect and the other people.
But it's not like I didn't put forth the
evidence. I'm not saying you personally. That's by all means. I'm just saying, okay, you still weren't here, okay? The thing about it is,
I couldn't help that. I tried to get.
And I can't help that either. All I'm saying is where we're at.
And the bottom line is the state was going to decide who they wanted to, based on the score system, whether you were here or not, it would have been the same thing.
Absolutely.
The only disadvantage to us is that we would have left a larger pool of resources.
And then everybody would have been prepared.
Even with those counties I presented, that's what we did.
That's right. And we've made sure that the folks in Raleigh know this now. So anyway.
Oh yeah,
I'd be amiss if I didn't bring it up.
I get it.
It's listen, a ton of cash.
I get it. Broadband is at the top priority of every county.
Absolutely,
and we know that. That's why we bidded RDOF, and that's why we bidded great. But getting to the completing access for broadband, that's the new program coming forward. Absolutely, we want to partner with you. It's a great opportunity to even expand. Because still going back, you don't know, the county at this point doesn't know until NCBIO tells who the next winner is going to be.
That's correct.
And that's going to truly, once we get that map and they get the map figured out, you're going to be able to identify those areas that's not served after all the awards are granted.
Yeah.
Then we can fill the gaps.
Right.
Okay. So then you have this. The stopgap solution and then the capital fund grant, which is just other opportunities that you're familiar with.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I don't want, I want to answer all your questions. I don't want to just take time away from your meeting here.
Well, I think I mean, as far as I'm concerned, anybody's got any questions?
The only thing is, at some point, it would be nice to see something that talks about what are the kind of the rules around installation and how things work. I'll give you an example. Quick. I live on a road that is served by Mediacom. They put line in all the way down the road, right? Mm-hmm. 1 mile long, right? Mm-hmm. But what folks didn't know is if your house sits back more than 300 feet, can't get service, right? Because the system doesn't work very well. And if you want it, it's cost you $5,000 to lines running right down your road. You're 50 feet from that 300, but you got to pay $5,000 to get a separate box. If we knew those rules up front at some point in the game, so citizens can understand why my neighbor got served and I didn't get served and what how it's going to work, yeah, that would be a wonderful
thing. We can hedge.
Yeah, and here's the thing, but and that's an HFC, which is called a hybrid fiber coax system.
Okay.
Using hybrid, using fiber and then converting nodes to coax cable, the sewer cable, you see you're limited on the distance because of degradation of the signal.
Right.
Our scenario, fiber is a completely different story.
But
where you can only go 300 feet,
yep,
you can go 1,500 feet.
Yes.
With fiber.
Yes. But okay, but I want to get in the weeds of this. But so is the charge based on how you're going to fold or just
no, within the RDOF, let me say this, within the RDOF area and the area we'll build, we're required to serve every household.
That answered my question. Beautiful. Thank you.
If you're in that RDOF area, good, if you're in that census block, if you're one house a mile away, we got to serve.
I've been asked that question a zillion times by neighbors who, knowing that this grant is coming, is that going to?
Yep. Yeah, and I'll work on a more granular map for you so you can see the streets.
Yeah, like I was going to bring that up.
We'll see if we can get a larger map for you.
A map that has roads in it, okay, so that we can get a better pinpoint these areas.
Absolutely. And the last thing I'll touch on, just so for residents, we have a part of the Affordable Care access to broadband, where with qualifying households, they can actually pay $0 for broadband if they qualify. So in essence, they can get broadband for free.
And how is that, what's that based off of?
It's based on income.
I understand that part, but are you pulling data? I mean, as far as,
no, you know what happens is that is the resident, they go to a website or FCC mm-hmm. website, and they actually fill out a form to qualify. The federal government at that point, they know all the providers in the area. They will reach out to the provider and let the provider know, listen, we have this application. Are you willing to serve this resident? And that's how it works. It's not something that the resident does directly with us. It's on them through the federal funds.
Okay.
But the other program that we have is Spectrum Internet Assist, is something that they do directly with us, is qualifying household. It also impacts senior citizens as well. So senior citizens that receive Social Security benefit mm-hmm. And supplemental benefit, they can get broadband for like $17 a month as well. And that's right. A program directly Charter Spectrum. That's our program, not.
So one last question for me. So when you start out, are you looking at 100 down and 25 up, or are you guys building 100 both ways initially from the beginning?
It's not going to be symmetrical. It's we're going to offer 100 up to a gig.
Okay. Both directions.
Now, by the time, symmetrical means equal speeds up and down.
Okay.
So it's not built at symmetrical, but in 2 years, I can't tell you where the company is going to be with that, because a lot of companies are looking at symmetrical services, 100 by 100, gig by gig.
So that's not a qualifier in the contract anywhere.
No.
But 125 is, though, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
125. 100 by 25 is
qualified. Okay. But I know the goal is to try to get us to 100.
Absolutely.
Right? But because you have fiber in the ground, you're scalable and that can be done.
Yeah, it was scalable. But if a business is in the area and they want 10 gig, we'll get them 10 gig.
Right.
Any other questions? Steve?
Just one quick question, sir. When we, because I know this is going to be asked,
when were y'all awarded the RDOF?
We were awarded the RDOF about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so we can go ahead. I thought you said great. RDOF was awarded last year. Yeah, in 2021.
For the R area?
Yes.
And did we ever receive any notifications on this?
No, RDOF counties would have not known.
Okay.
No.
All right. You have any business cards on you?
I do. They're in the car.
That'd be fine.
I can bring them in.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Here's a business card for you right here. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Look forward to working with the county especially with CAB.
I would definitely like to get a card and a cell number if you got one.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm on the road quite a bit. So okay. That's the best way to catch me. I'll run out and grab some and I'll bring them back in.
I do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you. Next on the agenda is going to be Tall Glass Water Capacity Building Update by Project Consultant, Ms. Robin Payne.
Hello, everyone. Nice seeing you. All right, give me 2 seconds. Let me pull this up. Oh.
You just flashed it.
Okay. Can you all see that? Is Scott accessible? Can we enlarge that so that we can see the numbers? Okay, perfect. Stop right there. Thank you. this is concerning Tall Glass of Water Phase 1. The bid that we received from A.R. Chesson is for $1,271,000.
Our grant fund cash is at $717,000. We actually have more grant funds available, but we stepped off of funding to pay Roanoke Electric and other items that weren't included in the So we're going to go through the alternates. Alternate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And what you choose, either stay at zero at the base bid, or we're adding or we're subtracting from that 1.2 number. We are over. We're about $450,000 to $500,000 over. So to move forward, we need to agree, commit to those funds being available. Project should end by May of 2023. So I suggest that we go ahead and just work through the alternates. Alternate number one are the fasteners. The base bid included stainless fasteners at the Cypress with galvanized at all other areas. If we stay with the base bid, of course, we're not adding or subtracting anything. The option for alternate number one is to use stainless hardware throughout. If we want that option, we add $9,700.
Me personally, I'd rather stay where we're at on the base bid on that.
I'm comfortable with that. alternate number two, the handrail. This is the handrail that goes down the one side of the pathway.
Robert, you have pictures. You had pictures. They're not in our pack, right?
No, there's no pictures.
Okay, but you sent them to us. I recall them, but go ahead.
And of course, I don't have pictures of fasteners or handrail or wall surface, but when we get down to alternate six, that's where I have pictures.
Yeah, that's one I was concerned.
Okay, but you understand the fasteners. Those are like screw bolts and stuff. So alternate number two is the handrail. And this is the handrail that goes from the restroom pavilion area all the way down to the water. It's on the left-hand side as you're going down. The base bid was galvanized with paint. No change there.
If we want the option of it being an all stainless handrail, then we add $30,265.
For me, it's just like fasteners. Galvanized is just as substantial.
And even aesthetically, I mean, in my opinion, I'm comfortable with the galvanized with paint. Then of course the other option with the stainless, it's 30,000 is a big number. So everybody comfortable with staying at the base bid?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Alternate number three is the wall surface. This is at the shower and the fountain, the water fountains on one side of the building, of the restroom building, and then the outdoor showers are on the northern side of the structure. The base bid called for cement board with paint. Obviously, there's a zero there. The option is to add wall tile. It's a 12 by 12 on both of those surfaces. If we choose that, we'll deduct the 3506. So everybody want to go with tile and deduct 3,500, or do you want to go ahead and stay with cement board paint?
Again, cement board and paint. I mean, tile, you can run into mold issues, things of that nature.
Well, the tile is cheaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the cement board, you think the tile is cheaper. You think tile is better than cement board?
If it's the type of cement board we're talking about, you're going to have mold issues with the tile. It's just one of those issues, you know, with grout and things of that nature. Are they grouting this?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right,
tile, it's, yeah. You know.
So we stay the same. Yeah.
Stay the same?
Yeah. And if we can go back up to the handrail,
sure.
This may be something we want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a galvanized handrail going down to paint it, that paint will eventually come off. It may be better just to go straight galvanized without any paint on the galvanized.
Okay.
The salt from the sweat in people's hands.
Okay. Then back down to three. So we're staying with the cement board. Alternate number four, the base bid included a kayak trailer, one that could be hooked up to a pickup and taken away. The option is to construct a kayak storage structure that had, I think it held maybe, like eight kayaks. And then there was a enclosed chest for life preservers, et cetera. If that were to be built according to the architect's specifications, we would add $39,980 to that.
Is that something that could not be done later?
Yeah,
sure. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm thinking it can. I mean, that's my opinion.
And the mobile trailer, something could be used forever. Anyway.
Exactly. We can get that later too.
And it could even be used to go to Salmon Creek or to
kids
wanted to go someplace else.
But again, these are things that can be bought at a later date.
Yeah.
And we already have several at Riverside.
Absolutely. Several of them.
All right. Alternate five. These are the wheel stops. So the base bid, of course, we have to include wheel stops for the ADA parking areas.
Right.
This is a wood wheel stop for the ADA areas, no change. If we wanted concrete, we would deduct $1,000. So right now this is ADA, do you want wood or do you want concrete wheel stops?
All right, so we go to the concrete. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a parking type area, correct? What you're talking about?
Right. Just the ADA.
If we go with concrete, it's $1,000 less, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What concerns me about the wood is going to deteriorate.
Right.
So if we go with the concrete, probably better off.
Mm-hmm. Long term.
Yeah.
And the architect did confirm that they're anchoring those wheel stops, the concrete. What did he say, Steve? Concrete got two rebar.
Yep.
30 inch.
Yep. 30 inch driven in the ground.
Yeah. The wood got three, but okay. Mm-hmm. So we're doing less.
And the difference between option C, what is that? Is that
That's on all the areas. Is that right?
These are the rest of the areas. So if we move, Scott, can you move the drawing so that we can just center it? There you go. Okay. See the ADA concrete ADA parking right here. That's on, it's a pervious surface, but it's not loose gravel.
So right.
It will be striped, and there will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ADA spaces there.
Mm-hmm.
So that stop is only for the ADA spaces.
Right.
But if we wanted from all that, would be option C. Is that correct? Right.
So if we're going to be consistent, we're going to choose concrete stops for a tier. And so that's the next question. Is, it doesn't have any kind of binder in it. But do you all want to have wheel stops to designate parking?
Go
you
back,
can't have striping.
Go back to the other way. The numbers. You're saying you get all of those for additional $3,000?
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
And we're saving $1,000. It saves me.
Well, I can tell you now, I would rather go with the concrete.
Yeah.
Because they're going to last
all
forever.
Time, do them all.
Because the wood's going to eventually deteriorate. And you're saying only $3,000 for all of them to be concrete, correct?
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'd say
Scott, can you move it back over, please, to the calculated?
Yeah, so it's 2K. So you got 2K. Plus, it's going to last.
Oh, wait. Add
4580. Still 3500.
Still 3500. So
Yeah.
No, that's.
Oops.
Yeah, put 4580 in there.
I can't see that far.
Yeah.
It's XL. It should.
Deduction.
Yeah.
I need two pairs of glasses here. All right.
I need magnifying glasses right now.
Alternate number 6. This is the wood bench. Scott, can you move it over so that we see the pictures of the benches? All right. And then you may want to shrink it a little bit so that they can see all shrink. There you go. Okay. We're going to have to go back and forth.
All right. That you're looking at the timber bench the guy's sitting on, right?
Yeah, that's what was included in the base bid.
Okay. And what kind of wood are they using?
It varies. Old wood.
I understand, but
hardwood.
Okay, but what kind of hardwood? Is it a cypress? Is it the reason we're saying because you get into different woods and it's going to rot faster. Cypress isn't. I don't know what that is as far as what kind of wood.
Well, what's the difference in the price between the
bench?
Is that aluminum benches?
Okay, Scott, can we? Okay, hold. The other benches.
Can he blow that
let's
up
look
again?
At the pricing real quick. This is a plastic, recycled plastic, high grade plastic bench. Same thing here, same company. This is tubular steel.
It can be pressure treated, it'll be lasting for, you know what I'm saying?
Scott, can we go back to the pricing now? Keep in mind with the benches, we thought an idea might be once we get done with phase two that we develop a bench layout throughout. And then we could institute a naming campaign for benches. So instead of just looking at phase one right now and putting in a bench, you know, once phase two is done, we can look at the entire layout.
I think the wood benches actually go with our motif that we're trying to do. I'm just curious about what type of wood they're specifying.
Yes. Okay.
Make sure I understand what you said, though, Robert. You talk when you said naming them. You mean after this point?
Yes.
We can
don't do
during
the bench
this
right
point?
Now for phase one. we'll come back after phase two and do benches throughout.
I got to be saying, what are you saying about phase one of benches? Saying, do those now with our selection?
No, I'm saying don't do them.
Don't do them.
Don't do the bench. It's okay. One bench.
Okay.
It's not multiple benches.
So one bench. So why do one bench?
No, is this only one bench?
Yeah, it's
it. I thought it was multiple benches.
No, that's all we get. No.
Okay, but forget it.
It's here. It's 79 inches. If you do not want the wood bench,
they give you one for free.
But you deduct $22,400.
We don't want a bench.
$22,000
for a bench.
Wow. And you know, I did look up the specs, and it's a hardwood. It's aged. It's treated. It has a steel U-shaped feet on under it. You know, it's not sitting on the ground.
Right.
It's 30 to 40 year old hardwood.
There you go.
Which is FSC cycled 100%. They're virtually indestructible. And
where are they coming from? Aren't they coming from Europe?
They come from street life wherever they
are. Let's just go without a bench right now.
I can tell you what they're made out of. Because I'm looking at the identical one you've got there.
Okay, good. Aesthetically, I mean, they're beautiful. They do fit.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But
so it says one bench was no charge. Is that right? Driftwood
no
bench,
change.
No change. But $0.
It's already included in the bid.
But if we say we don't want one at all, they take out what?
$22,000.
Where does it say that, right?
So you go down to option B. If you want the harvest bench, we're deducting. So we're deducting because that's the cost of the wood bench. I thought
the 22 is the cost of the. Oh, okay, I got you. So okay, the inverse. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, the hardwood bench is basically $22,000 coming off the base bid.
If we choose another alternative.
It's cheaper than, right, so it's 22.4.
So, I think what the question was saying, if I understood him, was if you didn't have benches, what would be the difference?
Yeah.
Probably do like another 2,000 off. I have to call the architects in the morning.
Okay. You can get back with us on that. Shoot us an email.
I mean, it's going to be around that alternate. Yeah, thank you.
Robin, may I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Just for something else that may come up. Is this the same? This is the same base bid that was issued before where we had somebody else bid on it, right?
You mean in round number one?
Yes.
There were some minor changes. Very, very, very minor.
Nothing. Significant, like more than $10,000, say?
I don't think so. I don't think so. This bid from this company is about $100,000 more than the first, but we've been seeing such wide fluctuations in pricing because of materials.
I mean, I understand that A.R. Chessens is $100,000 more than A.R. Chessens was before, but there was another company that's out there potentially that may have some liability, and they were considerably cheaper, and I'm just trying to make sure this is similar. They're apples to apples.
Oh, they're apples to apples.
Okay. All right, that's all.
Yeah.
you view aesthetics, I view lawsuits.
Well, we have to look at them all. So right now we're going to take out the 22.4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did that deduct?
Yes.
Yeah, it did.
Yep.
It did.
Okay. So now we're at 1,200,000 and oh, hold on. Yeah, something's not right. Did you hit Okay. All right, less our grant funding that we have. That leaves us needing $557,107. If we deduct our ARP funding that was set aside, we're at 207,000. We have one more of our existing grants that we can apply to while we're in this process that deducts 50,000. So we're needing $157,107.
Okay.
And as I understand, the contract has been reviewed. Jonathan's looked at it, and he and the architects, so they're in agreement. So this is the piece that we need to finalize before we can move forward.
Let me ask you just because it's going to come up again, and you can answer. However we make up the shortfall, we're going to be using funds we could use for something else. Like you said, there's an additional grant there that you could use. I mean, if you didn't have to use it, could you use it for something else?
No.
Is it going to go away?
A grant?
What I'm trying to say is Cinderella has made a bid. Cinderella's, in our opinion, got liability. So I don't want him to say, well, you didn't have a loss because you had a grant there that covered your loss. We could use that $50,000 for benches or something.
This $50,000 we would have to use on the elements that were included in this grant that we currently have.
Okay, we could add stuff back in and send this stuff out, is what I'm saying.
No. With that grant money, that 50,000, it includes restroom, parking. You know, we can't add benches, we can't add anything. If we can show that our costs have increased on these five structural elements.
It's like a cost plus grant. Right?
Yes.
But we already had that $50,000 grant even before, correct?
No.
We did not.
We have to apply for it as the project moves forward.
Okay.
All right. That's it. Thank you.
So, do you want this manager and William? Where do we stand? We're looking at needing $157,000.
Yeah.
So, just to be clear, what's included in ARP, of course, there was a phase two match of 250, right? And then there was we set some aside for overages for 350, and that's what you have there. So outside of that, we still owe 157,107. So there are some options. We have some remaining in ARP. It's not quite that much.
About
100,000. Well, can you guys?
It's about 96,000.
96,000.
Correct.
Can you guys go back and look to see where we'll get the options for this?
Okay.
So you're not answering it now and not being sure about it. Go back, research it, review it, and then get back to all the commissioners on that.
We can do that.
Okay.
What do you need an answer of? ASAP.
I will follow whatever your
do you have a deadline?
Today is Monday.
No,
can you guys have us an answer by Friday? That would give us 4 days.
And then I'll talk to Vines tomorrow.
Okay.
To clarify these other items. Okay.
William, you good for Friday? Okay. Friday. Right.
Good evening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Scott, I'm done.
I'll get them, Greg. Don't wear yourself out.
Whew. All right. Financial summary by Finance Director William Robertson.
Where could I come up to now? Because I'm trying to find all this money.
I know, right?
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to try to make this brief and quick. This is for 1 month. One out of 12 months should be 8.34%. If you look down in the expenditures, we have a couple of areas that look high. I want to speak about them real quick. One is tax. Basically, what that is he's got a hardware maintenance that come due the first of the year that's on a one-time expense. We exclude that, he'd be sitting around 8%. So he would be right where we normally would be at. Elections is showing 11.9. They sort of have the same situation. Their new voter equipment has a maintenance contract, which is due in July. You take that out, they'd be normally sitting around 5%. Public buildings is at 9.2. He's had a couple of things come in recently, such as the AC replacement in the courthouse, and he's currently working on a room at the ABC building that was requested and put in the budget. So those numbers are making him look a little high first part of the year. Economic development looks high, but that's mainly because the contract was encumbered for the entire year. So it's showing up in the numbers, but it's not really, he would really normally be around 8% looking at what's actually been spent to date. So one other thing I'd like to point out down at the bottom with the cash, it looks like we got a really big slew of cash all of a sudden, but the $1.8 million came in at the end of July. So that ARP money makes the numbers look kind of high at the moment, but we all know what that money is. Mm-hmm. Y'all already talked about some of it.
But you just subtract that from it, and still
it's still high. And we expected it to go up last year, but the backside, we talk about water. The one thing I'd like to point out is that revenues is running about 9%, which is a little increase from where it was last year. And expenses is around 4.8%. So water is looking good since a few years ago. Basically, that's the summary of what I can see on here. Do you have any questions?
So right now we're over 8 million. We know some of it's ARP money, be about 6.3 without that. So, okay.
And we need to keep an eye on that water expense, because we knew that revenue was going up, but we wanted the whole expense too, right? So it's not up much, but still.
Anyway, yeah. I was actually noticing 4.8, 4.3 last year. It's kind of in the same ballpark area. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions for William? Any questions? No. We good? Thanks, William.
Okay.
All right. Board appointments. Reappointment to the planning board, Mr. Jim Wiggins. Can I have a motion, please?
I so move that we appoint Mr. Jim Wiggins to planning board.
Can I have a second, please?
Second that.
All in favor? Aye. Consent agenda. Approved registers of deeds fees report for July 2022.
Move to approve.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Approved minutes for regular session, April 4th, 2022. You have a motion?
Move to Brown. One question. Lord, when I saw something that came back for you, it said red line changes, but I didn't see any red lines.
I saw them. You're mainly just changing the verbiage.
Yes.
There was nothing really.
I didn't see anything red.
I'm sorry.
Mine
were red. Yeah, I saw them.
Yeah, it just depends on, when I checked it on my phone, I didn't see anything red, but when I put up on my computer, I did see it.
I saw it on mine. I saw them.
Yeah.
Okay. But you just changed wording, you know, the words.
Right.
Yeah. To where it was proper English.
Okay, cool.
Yes, sir. I think one thing
that
was incorrect, and I changed
that. Yeah, that was it. I read through
them. Such a small thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They were long.
Very long. Approved minutes for a regular session, April 4, 2022. We're doing it again.
Move to approve.
Have a second. We have a first, a second. All in favor? Aye. Budget amendments.
That's normally the way we do it. Is there something we're doing wrong?
No.
I couldn't have said, when the red line doesn't show up on the cell phone.
Okay.
That's why I didn't see it. I was looking for it. I said, well, no changes. But they were. Apparently they were. I didn't look at it.
On anybody's phone, I had to pull them up on my phone.
Yeah, that's what I did. They were on the
now
computer.
That I know it, I'll be
they were on the computer.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
No. Now that I know that's the case, I got to look at a computer.
You know what they say? It's a broadband problem. Yeah. But anyhow, right? Okay. Budget amendments. Have a motion. You got anything you need to read off to us? We have them already. No, I've already read them. Anything? So nothing out of the ordinary.
Grant money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Can we have a motion to approve budget amendments?
I made the motion that we approve the budget amendments.
Okay. You have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor? Aye. All right. Project amendments. I assume that's
go ahead. I would like to speak about this one.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to get it put in because we received from the opioid settlement on June 30th, $34,508. Course, that's in last year, and I received it last year, so I need to put in documentation so I can account for it.
Okay.
There's a lot of verbiage in here about y'all passing a resolution before you start spending the money and all. I'm really not asking for you to pass a resolution tonight. I just want to give the documentation for me to get it put in a budget sense, and I'm putting it in a special fund based on what the MOA was that y'all had signed for.
So you should know, Williams, at least my understanding from the meeting last week is that you will receive a second within the next short time, a couple of months.
And I will bring you another amendment at that time.
They suggested that we put it in a separate
spot. Well, if you notice, it's Fund 15. It's in its own special fund. So I'm just trying to get this set up, so especially so I can tie it out with last year's budget process.
Okay.
And just so we also say, since we're on this, is that the association has hired an expert in this area, right, on staff that can be used for us. They have a plan that they're put out there. That it is their suggestion. We do whatever we like, but they will come and consult with us for free in terms of why their plan is what they say it is, in terms of how we could use it. And it's going to be scalable to small, medium, large counties, et cetera. So
that's right.
It's kind of neat.
Okay. Project amendments. We need a motion on that.
So moved.
Yes.
Okay. We have a second.
Second.
All right. We have first and a second. All in favor? Aye. Uh-huh. All right. Addition of communication director and emergency service billing coordinator positions to salary schedule. I knew she was going to hear talk about that. Hello,
nice
Courtney.
To see
how are
you? All again. Good. How's everybody doing this evening? So we can begin with the communications position, if that's okay. Toward the end of last fiscal year, the county was notified of the sheriff's request to pass on the responsibility of supervision of the communications department. Effective August 1st, the county officially assumed supervision of this department. Upon assuming the supervision, we identified the need to add a director level position to this department, as well as to our classification plan and salary schedule, as the sheriff was the hiring authority prior to August 1st. In reaching out to our surrounding counties, we were able to identify a comparable yet appropriate salary grade and range for this position. The comparison of responsibilities to the other position within this grade were also considered when we were coming up for this recommendation. At this time, upon research, comparison, and development of the job description for this position, it is our request and recommendation that we add the new position titled Communications Director to our Burchie County Classification Plan and Salary Schedule under the grade 75 with a hiring rate of $46,210 and max $71,626.
Okay. Everybody's heard the young lady. Okay. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll make the motion that we accept the recommendation of our HR director that for the communications director position to a grade 75?
Grade
75. Grade
75.
Grade
yes,
75.
Sir.
Right.
As Courtney has said. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a first and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Okay.
All right. So on to our other position, emergency services billing coordinator. Recently, we've identified the need to move forward with a couple of small departmental restructuring items within the EMS department. However, in order to complete some of these changes, we have identified the need to request the additional position to our classification plan and salary schedule. Within this review, we found that we have an employee who is pretty much doing the work as the billing services coordinator, which we recommend as a salary position on our classification plan. However, they are currently classified as captain. Within the newly requested role, as you can see from the provided job description, the main focus is compliance, auditing, and overall main focus is EMS billing process. Additional research was also completed on how our surrounding counties handled classifying this role, and based on the information collected, as well as comparison of responsibilities to the other position within the grade recommended, we would like to propose a proper placement on the Bertie County classification plan and salary schedule. So at this time, upon review of all information gathered and developed of the job description for this position, it is our request and recommendation that the position titled Emergency Services Billing Coordinator be added to the Bertie County classification plan and salary schedule under grade 71 with hiring rate $39,047 and max $60,523.
Mr. Chairman, I have only one question.
Go ahead.
So right now we have person who is doing this job, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's not really her job. She's classified as mm-hmm. a captain. Is that correct?
Yep.
Well,
we're doing it in addition to.
I think her main, yeah. Okay. Her main role is this job description that we've come up with.
First of all, so that if we then say this is this person's new job full time mm-hmm. under this new classification, she's now doing some of the work in addition to this. Or is she? Because where does that go? What is that additional work that she was doing outside of this go? Is that just in limbo, going to be picked up on additional staff? Or, I want to know, I don't want somebody to come back later and say, well, you made this change and now mm-hmm. we need another person here to take up her slack.
So my understanding is she's doing this work within her current role, within her current title.
Right.
So basically it's just kind of cleanup to get her under the title, the appropriate title for the work that she's already doing.
But that's kind of my point, because if she's doing it with, if that's all she's doing is this work under her current title, I see the transfer, right?
Yes.
But if she's doing other work in addition to this.
So my understanding is this is basically reclassifying the position that she's already in. So it's not adding another position to the budget. It's taking the position that's already been budgeted for and retitling it so that it covers the work that she's actually doing.
And did you picking up the rest of what she was doing, if anything?
The position that she's talking about was occupied by a person that has recently left us and gone on to another profession.
Okay.
And
she was filling in.
Captain took over the duties to cover until we could find a replacement.
She was filling in.
Well, she has excelled well at these duties and has expressed the want to be in that position, and we want to afford her an opportunity of that promotion.
That's what I didn't get. She was filling in for that position. And not assigned to her.
And it's a very important position.
Oh, yeah,
because it's scrubbing the bills and getting the cash flow rolling. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Got it.
All right. Everybody understand? All right. Can I have a motion, please?
So move that we accept that new position as the emergency service billing coordinator.
Can I have a second?
My understanding is that the budget for that position that she's already filling will roll right over to the new position.
It's already budgeted.
Okay.
That was his question.
There's already somebody in that position.
Right.
We need to change some classification on it because it got changed 3 or 4 years ago because we had them doing a job for EMS and NET. And now we're bringing that back together and moving the additional duties. Because the person that previously there was helping us with our training. So we kind of separated. Well, now we're bringing them back together. We'll move training back under myself and Crystal until, because eventually what we'd like to see in the future, like we talked about in this year's budget, we'd like to see a training officer. But our finances are very important to us, and we feel that this would be the best move to continue what we're doing. What I'm going to talk about after her, I kind of shed some light on.
I guess the basic report is this is not this is not requiring any new money now or in the immediate future. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we
have.
Go ahead, sir.
I made the motion earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the motion's on the floor. I made the motion that we accept the pay grade 71 for the emergency service billing coordinator.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Next, emergency management update, request to unfreeze positions.
So I got two pieces of this. First thing we're going to talk about is, good evening first. I'm sorry. First thing we're going to talk about is the request to unfreeze positions. And then we're going to go into a public officials conference. Some of you have been to them in the past. It's part of our grant requirements. We're going to do a little slideshow. It won't take long. Kind of tell you what we've been working on this year. So first off, in your packet, you have a little Excel sheet that we worked on. And there's two positions in the transport organization that we would like to request to unfreeze. Number one being the transport coordinator. And number two is an EMT paramedic position that we would like to unfreeze. And what this is going to allow us to do is to move another captain that is pulling dual duties into a position for her promotion, add an additional employee to the services that we're providing so we can add an additional ambulance. Now, the request to add an additional ambulance is based on call volume that we've been tracking since just started before budget was done. This question was asked, and I think it's highly appropriate. Why did we wait till now to come in and request this? We didn't want the call volume to be a fluke, a rise in our operation, and then drop back down and us request the funds to do this. We've seen 12 months of an increased call volume, but we've had 6 months of increased call volume with us turning down an average of 3 calls a day to 5 calls a day some days of a request for services to do either discharges out of the hospital, transports for patients or dialysis, and interfacility transports at night. Now the request is to unfreeze those positions, and we added the funds in the request of what it's going to take to operate the ambulances, which comes out to $130,475 with a revenue of $185,138.20, which would put our net balance back at $54,663 to add that additional service.
Question. With the increased call volume, right? Is there a correlation between COVID and that call volume over a long period of time being up? Or now that we see a decline kind of in COVID, are you still seeing the call volume, the additional call volume hold tight? Or is there now some drop off? This is just an average over a longer period of time.
Since we've seen COVID drop, we've seen call volume go up.
Okay.
And we're seeing a lot more services needed for people needing to come out of the hospital and go back to the residence or back to the nursing home and to be transferred to a higher level of care, which means leaving Burke T and going to an ICU unit. And like I said, for the last 6 months, we've been tracking those. And for the last year, we've seen the call volume steadily go up, which I can speak to based on what our collections have been, which would have been the last position that Courtney was just talking about, as we've seen our collection percentages and our call volumes go up over for the 22 year.
That was my only concern is that would the decline in COVID like throw off what we're anticipating, but you're still seeing that.
Yeah, it's held strong and steady, and that's why we waited to now to come, because we started budget back in February, but that's when we started seeing the numbers rise even more. We didn't want to come in here and put it in the budget and fight for a position that may have been a month or 2 month fluke. But we average 5 trucks a day. We're running 6 trucks a day with overtime. So this is going to cut out some of the overtime and also add a full-time resource as that sixth truck. So we're increasing our man hours of operation for that availability to pick up those three additional calls a day.
And that's a 29.5% increase in cash flow. Positive.
So you're basing this debt on projected income.
Do what now?
You're basing this debt, this debt that you said on projected income.
We're basing it off what we're turning down a day, which is 3 to 5 calls a day. We put in a 3-call projection and then did the revenue based on that, and did a very restricted and low projection based on that. I didn't want to overshoot.
Okay. Question, Mr. Roberts.
I have a statement.
Sir, go ahead.
Number one, being the commissioner, it's not fair to the citizens of Bertie County to call your office and get turned down because they can't get no service. I either called all the ambulance service around. Right. No, that's a discredit, a disservice to the citizens here of Bertie County.
Correct.
I will say this. For the record, y'all do an outstanding job, and I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
Nothing but compliments from everybody.
This number at 54, the savings projection would be over a 12-month cycle, right?
Well, yes, that's a 12-month cycle, right. So we could subtract one.
So we're going to see something less than that in the budget cycle, is what I'm saying, right? So I just want to make that clear so that when we hold this accountable to make sure that these numbers came out, right? That's what we want to do, right?
Right, and absolutely. And based on our numbers last year, we've done very, very well. It cost us $615,000 to operate last year. Projected right now with our accounts receivable, we're looking at collecting $844,000. So by putting in this additional truck and picking up these additional resources, which we have a meeting tomorrow with the hospital.
Can you give me those two numbers again, please?
615, 844.
615 and what?
844.
These are big numbers, right? So we need to be accountable.
27%.
Numbers, right? As best we can. We understand that circumstances change and things come into play. That's why I wanted to correct this number so that we're not looking at a 54,000 additional. We're looking at least 1 month less, probably two, if you're actually going to, when you implement this. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, theoretically, but I put in 54 as I understand what you're saying.
The percentage is still going to be the same.
Yeah, percentage is the same, but the number is different. The numbers are a lot, 2 months less than that. So 2/12 of this would be the reduction.
But I'm going to push it to make more than that.
So this maneuver would carry its own weight in this budget year.
Yes,
sir.
So this maneuver would carry its own weight in this budget year.
Yes, sir.
And also to the fact, the one, I think you had, 130, that's for a full year too, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you need to deduct 2 off of that.
Yeah.
So your profits would even be higher.
So the savings would be like $45,500.
Exactly. So, because your cost is going to go down too. So, anyhow, all right. William?
If you agree to do this, I will come back to the next meeting with ironed out numbers because I'm going to have to do a budget amendment and show you exactly what.
Okay.
8 months or 10 months will be versus.
Right. I can figure that right now. So
on your sheet.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? If there's no other questions or statements, can we have a motion, please?
I made the motion that we accept the request from Bertie County Director of Emergency Management.
Okay. Can I have a second, please?
I will second that.
We have a first and a proper second. All in favor? Aye. Okay.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. Okay.
Now for the easy part. Say the easy part. All right. So every year, we do a public officials conference. Some of you have been to them. We usually do them in Washington County. We do them as 5 counties together. and we have a bunch of people come in and talk to the commissioners and elected officials of the county. Well, COVID put a stop to that. This year, we weren't able to get everything spun up in time to do a five-county presentation. So I'm coming before you tonight to carry on that requirement for our grant to show you what's going on in our emergency management part of our organization. Public officials update, we'll go over to hurricane predictions for the year, our response readiness, our natural disasters, and our man-made disasters that we prepare to respond to. NOAA adjusted their forecast earlier this month from 14 to 21 to 20 storms. They only adjusted it by one instead of 21 named storms. They brought it down to 20. Six to 10 could become hurricanes, and three to five could be major hurricanes. Everybody looks at this projection every year, and they look at these numbers, and they're like, okay, we need to be prepared. But I have to insist and, you know, reiterate, y'all understand this. A lot of our citizens understand this. It only takes one. So those numbers up there, while they're great to know, it takes one storm. A lot of our disasters have been one. We've been hit twice in 16, but it only takes one. Our response readiness goes back to how we function during a storm. Our EOC is located in the Sheriff's Department at 222 County Farm Road. And these are some phone numbers we give out during that time of our EOC, and our fax numbers are our local responders, and our citizens can get in touch with us to tell us what their needs are. If it's a 911 emergency, we want you to call 911. But if it's something we can handle in the office and take some weight bearing off of them, we want you calling these numbers and telling us what your needs are. Our central receiving distribution point is at 1010 Charles Street here in Windsor, right behind the Ford dealership. Everything that comes in from the state, the federal level, if it comes in, it goes to that warehouse before it's sent out to any other location, like our shelters or our pods. Like during the tornadoes, we set up pods to get food, MREs, and water and materials out. It come through there, was broke down, and then sent out. We'll go over our shelters. Our number one shelter is our Burt T. High School. Number two was West Burt T. on the western side of the county, of course. And then Coleraine Elementary. We operate three shelters because we understand that our citizens are very proud of where they are. They want to be close to home, and we want to make sure they're safe. So we continue to provide those three shelters. Something that we have in the county that a lot of our citizens use, and we want to continue for more people to sign up, is HyperReach. This is one of the best ways for us to get communication out to our citizens. The county puts in about, I'm going to say, close to $5,000 a year to make this system work, and we're in a joint operation with the five other counties, which helps us reduce our costs but still get the same effect. And we want people to go to our website, go under our emergency services page, click on that red HyperReach icon, and sign up. And you'll get to hear my voice when things are going bad. But that's one of the best ways to get out communication in a very quick, you know, manner that is an emergent need. Other natural disasters and hurricanes that we respond to, the severe storms.
Mitch, we have a question for Commissioner Wesson. No.
because we're starting into the hurricane kind of season. So any way we can get something out, some more advertisement.
We can take that link, put it right on Facebook.
That'd be great.
We need to
talk to the newspapers about putting it out again.
That'd be great.
Verbiage on there talking about this is the time to sign up now.
Yes, sir.
So that you're prepared later on, right?
Yes, sir. We can definitely do that.
Well, Mitch was on a roll there for a second, too. But I'm going to tell you what, man. Hit the brakes, buddy. Hit the brakes.
He didn't have time to mess with you.
You ain't kidding, man. You were going downhill early there. So go ahead.
Other natural disasters, severe storms, floods, wildfires, winter storms, tornadoes, droughts, landslides. Never responded to one in the county, but we train on them. We talk about them. Power outages and tsunamis. We talk about them. Really don't know what we're going to do if they call for one, but other than hang on, maybe grab a surfboard or a boogie board. But we definitely want to make sure we get the information out.
We'll have the Baja in the water. We'll be good.
Man-made disasters, chemical spills, hazardous materials. We respond to a lot of them. A lot of people don't even know on the highway through 18-wheelers. Explosions, chemical and biological attacks, train accidents, plane crashes, groundwater contamination, and cyber attacks. Cyber attack, I don't know much about a computer other than just enough to get in trouble with Scott and Joe. But I do know that if they want it, we can call the National Guard. They can talk and they can figure it out. Things we're working on, upcoming trainings. Ashland Corporation, we have a meeting with them this week. We're going to do an exercise with them. Everybody understands that everybody likes stuff. When I say stuff, they like laundry detergent, clothes, and kids like toys, and people like products to go in their cars to make them faster, and everything takes stuff. Well, all of that's made with chemicals. When it's stored in high capacity, we got to know how to respond to it. So luckily, through relationships with the fire department and Ashland, we're going to set up an exercise for them. And also, we're going to do a full-scale exercise with Purdue Farms in spring 2023.
That's great.
So that means whatever day we pick, if you ride by, we will make sure to have signs in the road because there will be a bunch of people walking around in marshmallow suits with air packs on the back going in and out of the building.
How much ammonia are they storing there?
49,000 pounds.
Yeah, and I think when we spoke in reference getting the route for the water to come through there, Commissioner West and myself, if it ever exploded, it'd be about a 3.5-mile evacuation area.
So Hyperreach, we have preset 3 miles on Purdue. We talked to them last week about our plan, and our plan is to drive to the duck crew and ask them again. If they answer the phone, we know we're okay. Because of the approach going into the facility, you're right, on the road. But we have a very good relationship with the hazmat team out of Williamston. Those guys are on time. They're spot on.
Call John and, if he has.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're not going to call me.
You're going to get a Hyperreach call.
There you go. I was about to say, man.
Best thing you can do is go to the river and hit your ride out that way.
I go to the back, I'll be 8 miles from them.
So we are very glad we're going to do this. Everybody knows Purdue's had some changes. They've got a new manager, has new people over top of their hazmat, and they want to be participating more in our LEPC. So we see some great training and great partnerships coming out of that. Our key partners, our local government, municipalities, our surrounding counties, we work together every day. We communicate with Martin Herford, Terrell Washington, all the time. Volunteer fire departments. We had 12 in our county. I put them up against anybody. They're the good old boys, and I like that. They work hard. Law enforcement, EMS, state response agencies, not only North Carolina Emergency Management, but we have Diener. You know, we have those agencies, the ag agencies, that come in and help us. Federal response, EPA. They can be nice some days. They're not usually the best up there. Private sector. Private sector here is very important, like we were talking about Purdue and Ashland. They're using the product. They know more about it than anybody there is. They're definitely the people you want at the table when you're having a problem.
Have we got a relationship with Valley?
Yes.
Okay. You do know they've been purchased, right?
I do not know that.
They have been purchased by a stock exchange company. They're out of Texas. Get with Steve Biggs. He can give you more information on that. Okay. And we need to get hooked up with their people.
Okay.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions?
What's our shelter capacity? Do you know off the top of your head?
We can hold about 200 at the high school, 100 at Westbrook T, and 100 in Colerain.
400.
Yeah. And if we have to, there are three main shelters we still have with the school that we can open up, the early college or the elementary school here in town or something like that, if we need it. And we exercised a lot of that during COVID because that 200 got cut down to 80 some people when you did 100 square foot per person.
And so, neither of those three locations has that emergency generator, right?
Nope. None of them. We moved generators. So during an activation, we moved generators, cots, water, MREs, blankets, all types of stuff that we have. We call them push packs. And Anthony in the water department helps us with that. And we'll load them up on pallets. And we'll take a trailer. They'll take a trailer. And we'll get them out there and drop them off at schools. And
what about our generators at the EOC and emergency station one? How's maintenance going with that? You guys got everything set on that?
They were just recently maintained. Okay. We had a good exercise the other night when we had a transformer catch on fire in town. We were able to manually get everything started to keep everything running, but they were just recently maintenance because of that. So we're glad that it happened during that event instead of during a storm event.
We've never been able to. I know one time we were looking at possibilities of, you know, emergency generators and what they would cost us, and they were
they're outrageous. I mean, that we had a chance one time, I think, to come to us. And they were like, we got $35,000 for you. When the transfer switch was 100 and the generator was 250. And
Didn't a military group come to us one time with something to do with Army or somebody?
They did some outreach, but they didn't do how much KWs we needed to run each facility. They identified a need, but they didn't identify the cost of the need and what it was going to take to, because like Westbrook T, a great location for Western Bertie County, serves a lot of people in that end of the county, but that school receives power from two different sides of the school. And you got to, you know, when you start hooking up into that school, it's got some special requirements, and it drove the cost of a transfer panel sky high.
Okay.
Anything else?
That was my question to you.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
Well, this little conversation has helped us with our grant. And we'll make sure we put that in our documentation and collect that $2,500.
Oh, well, <we're>
So I appreciate y'all's time.
We appreciate you, Mitch. We appreciate everybody that works with you.
That's right.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you.
All right. Plans for Bertie County's 300th anniversary celebration. And we have the assistant county manager.
It's always fun following Mr. Mitch.
Dave Scarborough.
I feel so, Mitch, just come and do this. All right, good evening. Over the past 2 weeks, the planning committee for the 300th anniversary celebration started meeting in order to try and establish a date, a time, and a location for the this event, for the 300th anniversary. Committee consisted of all the department heads plus several key other staff members. After much discussion and pros and cons, the committee is recommending that 300th anniversary celebration be held on Saturday, November the 5th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and that it be held in Windsor on the Granville Street corridors, East and West Granville Street. The emphasis of the event will focus on Bertie County 300 years past, present, and future. There are a lot of details that we still need to address in a very short period of time, which you're very much aware of, but we believe we can accomplish this. All the members of the committee have been assigned tasks to start working on this, and we will be bringing in more people as we move forward to help us out, including local historians, others that are knowledgeable about Bertie County, mayors and commissioners from the municipalities in Bertie, and others as we see the need. The decision to have it on the Granville Streets was based off of a number of factors to include accessibility, space, facilities, and parking. We look forward to moving forward with commissioners and others to get this done. And
Can you tell the commissioner some of the other options that you all look into as far as locations?
We looked at Hope Plantation. We looked at the River Center. We looked at King Street. We looked at the Granville Streets. We also looked at the Recreation Complex. We not only looked at them, but we discussed them as a committee and made the
that there probably were some, but I didn't hear you say anything about any Windsor representatives on this committee. I'm assuming Windsor's on board with all this.
We didn't include anyone else outside of the department heads yet because of the fact that this is a Bertie County event and Bertie County departments are representative of Bertie County. So we wanted to at least get the basis done first, and then we're going to start bringing them. But we did speak with Alan last week to talk about some of the logistics about streets for closing and locations and capabilities that they had that they could contribute to. So we are already working with them some, yes.
Yeah, and, we will also bring in all of the municipalities to get some feedback.
That's
the whole point. They are all Bertie County, right?
Yes. Correct.
So that's the next
which
step.
Is the government, but they're all part of Bertie.
No, correct. I will. Yeah. So we're bringing all of them in, but I will say I thought it was important for us to get started and lay the groundwork because we're responsible for executing this and we are contributing the funds to pay for it.
We actually.
So we do want to them to come in and you know give their input and of course they should be represented and be a part of it. But I thought it was important for us to at least get started and lay some groundwork before doing that.
One of the groups that we have that are, that's one of their responsibilities to start reaching out to.
And I get that one, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't, you know, that's making an assumption that all of this cost of this should be paid for by Bertie County. We're all Bertie County. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't, if Windsor, which is a county seat, was involved in this or in the other counties, why wouldn't they put some skin in the game? Why wouldn't we want them to?
If they want to, we are definitely not going to turn it down, but, and we can even ask that, but that would just be, you know, putting it at the ball in their court as to if they wanted to do it. And if they say, no, we don't, then it either puts it on us or either we don't do it. And it was my understanding that you wanted us, the county, to sponsor this.
That was never my vision of this. What I said is that we as the county government should take the lead on this, but we are one county. So what an event like this should be meant to do is to bring all of the county together,
yes,
all of the towns, the municipalities, right? All of, they pay the freight here, right? So we want to involve them in it. So I'm just saying, I like the fact that you started just in-house. But we quickly need to go outside of them. They may have some great ideas.
Yes, sir.
They may have some money to put in the game.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. And if they do, we will definitely report that back and let you know.
That's the plan anyway, right?
Yeah. Yes. That's the plan anyhow. And yes. You guys are going with it, so that's fine. Y'all keep running with the ball.
Saturday, November the 5th?
Yes.
Saturday, November 5th.
What about any idea about a rain date if this is going to be outside? So
We've talked about that. And Saturday is the date. Sunday would be the rain date. If Saturday were that, if the whole weekend's a wash, then we would either say we tried or maybe try and reschedule it for later that month.
And if
we
didn't, and if all that in, and if all that don't work out, we'll just go to Ward Road to Mr. Wesson's house and everybody
come on down. I got plenty of land. There ain't a problem.
That's option three.
But the other thing is I know you're gonna do this, but the real key, I think, David, is how we communicate this right and get people aware and get them wanting to be a part of this, whether to come out and participate. That's why I like putting some skin in the game, right? When people put skin in the game, they're more likely to be connected to it, right? If I know my town is doing something as part of this, I'm more likely to come if I live in Kelford or I live in, you know, wherever, right? So, I mean, that's what we need. We need tremendous turnout for this thing.
And I want to share this with you. That's one of the things we talked about during the first two meetings was involving the municipalities and the communities to come and have an area where they have their stuff about their town and everything.
Sure.
So we are thinking about that already. We agree totally.
Any idea whether or not we would want to invite any dignitaries to this? Do we want the governor? We can get on the schedule pretty easy, especially if we're talking about November. You know, if whatever we want, right? I mean, it'd be nice to have the governor here, right? He owes us something. And he's come every time we've ever asked him. Never turned us down that I'm aware of. So if we want it, as long as we got some time, we might be able to do that. And that way we get some additional publicity, the whole kind of works, right? Or any other people that we might want to invite. But, okay.
Any other questions for David? None. Thank you, David.
I just want to make sure that the November 5th date is approved and okay with the board.
Yeah.
Because we're going to start go ahead and advertising for this event.
Mr. Robertson, you have anything? You're good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye, David. Okay. Prior to the meeting, County Manager Vaughn had discussed with me about having a closed session. And if we could just... I know I'm going there. I want to go ahead and change the agenda if that's okay with you. All right, can I have a motion to adjust the agenda to have a closed session after the commissioner reports?
So moved.
Have a second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Commissioner's report. Mr. Atkins.
No, sir.
Mr. Wesson.
Yeah, and just a couple of things. First of all, it was a pleasure to last week be able to go to Cabarrus County to the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners annual meeting. And it was very great. I don't know if many people familiar with Cabarrus County, but it's one of the fastest growing counties in the state of North Carolina. It's kind of the gateway to Mecklenburg and Charlotte. They grew by 35% over the last census and anticipate doubling their population in the next 5 years. One of the things I did is got a chance to go out on a tour of all of the, well, four of the municipalities. And it was interesting how they work with the municipalities in terms of, from a financial standpoint, in terms of they understand that if the town can grow, it affects the county. And so the county is actually putting money into the townships and partnering around grants and financial things to help build them. Right? Housing is especially one great example, right? And they're big. I mean, they got a lot of money. I mean, their biggest question is, how do we spend it all, right? Literally, that's the biggest thing. How do we spend it? They had one facility that $230 million in sales tax from one facility a year. Unbelievable. Anyway, so we got a chance to see that. Now, the reason I bring that attention, they are number three in the area of broadband and what they've been able to do in broadband. Dare County is number one, then it's Wake County, and then it's Cabarrus County, even stronger than Mecklenburg or Wake. But anyway, so Tracy Johnson, who is the new president of that association from Washington County, who was just installed, every term, the president has a president's initiative. You remember Ronnie Smith last time had food insecurity, resilience, and they did a presentation here, was well received across the state. Well, Tracy's initiative is broadband. And the reason she chose that, she comes from Washington County, which has the lowest broadband connectivity of any county in the state of North Carolina. We're 94th, so we're sixth from the bottom. And Cabarrus County, like I said, is one of the strongest. So she chose two co-chairs to chair her initiative. And she chose Steve Morris out of Cabarrus County, and she asked me to serve as a co-chair as well. I think this is important because we'll get to see the inner workings of how the state is going to fund broadband, right? Especially the CAD piece, which is a CAD piece, which has not fully been announced yet. So we're gonna be meeting with those people. We're gonna wanna make sure that counties have involvement, right? In the decisions that are made by the legislature in this area. That's what the president's initiative is all about. I hope that I will be able to get smart around this issue and be able to bring some value to it. But the value that I really want to bring is back home to Bertie. So looking forward to that. That's it. Thank you.
Mr. Robertson.
Chairman, Trent, I'd like to report that Blue Jays Recreation Department had a very successful weekend in their giveaway back to school kids, pet bags and school materials and all the food, drinks, fun, trucks, cars, anything. Okay, they had a full day Saturday afternoon and maybe 1,000 people was there going to come and had a real good time. It was very successful. You know, an opportunity to get back to their kids and so they'll be prepared to go back to school on the 29th or even on the 18th. Thank you.
And to add to what Commissioner Roberts was saying, that event has been going on for quite a while, but I quite frankly, with the new gym and gathering area, as I'm going to call it, really turned it into a county event. It was unbelievable. Now, we were in Concord at this NACO meeting, but they were sending me pictures, and the pictures, it was huge.
That's right.
Never seen it this size before. I mean, thousands of people from all over the county were there. I got a phone call, and everything that they had there was just unbelievably set up, beautiful. The cook-offs, I mean, the whole nine yards, and those people, everybody gets really competitive when it comes to the cook-off, man, I'm gonna tell you. So that's the deal. But again, at NACO, there was one thing that was very interesting that they had came out with. It was a book that was given to us with mapping. A lot of the stats that Commissioner Wesson was reading off was in this mapping book, okay? And one thing that I find it interesting is that I would say probably 70% of the counties, okay, and Commissioner Wesson, we discussed this, they have their taxes broke apart. They don't have garbage. They don't have these other things in there. You've got guys, counties that are sitting there at 56 cents, but they really are a dollar, okay? Because they've got these things broke apart. And we even asked the question, and stood up, asked the question, are these exactly what the county taxes, everything together? No, because counties break it apart. So I find it hard that we're still in the situation. I know we're doing something different this year, okay? But it's still not to the level that other counties, 70% of the counties are doing. And I still want to bring that up and be harping on this because I think there's something direction that we need to keep looking at and be able to do these things. And that's all I've got for right now.
John, Chairman, that's a great point because – you know, David, when you presented ways to do it so that you could legally break it apart, that's what they've done. So they don't have to show it that way, whether that's fire tax, whether that's garbage, whether that's some other things.
Emergency services.
But people, let me tell you, people assume that when they see the numbers, that we're extremely high. That's not the case. When you add up the real, and what we call for is, why don't you do a real tax? What's the real tax, a total tax to residents of the county? So I'm hopeful that'll carry the weight for the next book, and we'll see how we really pay up. Because the answer is we're going to be much, much better.
And our surrounding counties. I mean, our surrounding counties are 20 cents, 30 cents higher than we are. But because of the way they break theirs down, it gives the impression that they aren't, okay? That they are cheaper than we are. And it's not true, especially when people – companies are looking at this, what the property taxes are here in Bertie County. They're like, well, why is Bertie County so much higher than such and such? Well, we're not. Once you add your garbage in it, once you add emergency services in there and all that, we're 20 cents cheaper because we got ours all clumped in together. Enough on that. County manager's report.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I have a couple of things. And one thing is, reached the media before it actually reached my desk, which was interesting. But the Bertie County Water Department, District 4, in the Lewiston-Woodville community received a grant for the water system replacement for $4.9 million and $247,000 for asset inventory and assessment. So again, this has been put in the media, and I spoke with our water superintendent about that. And so I'll follow up with him in Green Engineering to find out why.
We weren't notified.
Correct. I haven't received any official notification.
It was in the Herald, and then we found out about it. And,
yeah. So I'll get more information on it and let you know. The other item, and some of us have had some discussion about this, but in next month, September, our regular meeting is scheduled for September 19th at 6 o'clock. But you also are aware that Robin Payne has talked about a strategic planning session. And so there's been some discussion about changing that evening meeting into a morning work session to allow us to have that strategic planning and whatever other agenda items we have. So if it's the pleasure of the board, we'll need to...
what was the date on that again?
September 19th.
September 19th. I would recommend to the board that we take that September 19th and set it for 10 a.m. and do a strategic planning at that time and other issues that we need to discuss.
And the one thing we talked about with Robin is that we really needed a full day.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely.
To lunchtime day. We need a full day.
Yep.
Right? Good with that.
Okay. So we're going to say 10 a.m. September 19th. Everybody good with that?
Yes. Yep. If I can have a motion to amend our meeting calendar to reflect that.
So move. We amend the calendar to reflect the new meeting date, September 19th at 10 o'clock.
Can I have a second, please?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Okay. 10 a.m. September 19th.
And I think it would be appropriate to add to that the location. I think we should probably do it in our community room.
Space.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. County Attorney's report. Were you done, County Manager?
Yes, sir. I'm done.
Okay. Mr. Scarborough, I don't want you to be left out. You got anything for us?
Yeah, I don't feel left out, but I will say that on Wednesday at 10 o'clock, we had the architect for the animal shelter coming to spend the day here to do assessment with the planning department and the site and start talking to some of the different people who are going to be impacted by it. He is out there. That's why we're going to be out there.
You know, I could look at you and tell you had something you needed to say. I could look at you and tell you you had something you wanted to say. So, anyhow, County Attorney's report.
Nothing for closed
session. Okay. We're going to go ahead and do public comments, then we're going to go into closed session. Is there any public comments? 3-minute public comments? Courtney? Not Courtney. LaShonda? Did she hear me?
LaShonda, can you hear?
Yes. Okay. No, sir, Chairman Trent. No public comments.
Okay, thank you. We have no public comments. And Mr. Attorney, we're going to be going into closed session, but I don't have a statute number.
143.318.11A3 and 6.
Okay, we're going under closed session under that. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Can I have a second, please?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're going into closed session. Okay, can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We have a second, please? All in favor? Aye.
Turn this off and try to end this. Don't let me.
Everybody might start off. You too. Scott, can you end this for us, please?